I am Plante on the line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. David Wilson joins me again. The Noted Artist has a new exhibition opening tomorrow, running until Thursday, the 22nd of October at the Kurbatov Gallery. Close to Home is a collection depicting many scenes of Vancouver in those faraway pre-COVID days. The title of the exhibition, which we'll discuss, reminds us about having to stay close to home these past few months. We see the rain, the chill of autumn, that for a lot of us suggests the start of the year. David's work affords us a chance to look and think and invites discussion. And who better to talk about it all than the artist himself? I've always enjoyed talking to David. He captured so much of this city and its spirit, especially when the painting might be of something at dusk in those precious moments before the sun sets or it's just too damp out. The Kurbatov Gallery is at 2345 Granville Street, and the exhibition is on daily. Visit their website at kurbatovgallery.com. For times, there will be the expected protocols to ensure physical distancing. Visit David's own website at davidwilson.ca for a preview. Please welcome back to the Plante Online program, David Wilson. Mr. Wilson, good morning.
Good morning, Joseph.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you, and thank you for having me tonight.
Well, it's nice to talk again. I used to never ask people how they were, unless they ask me first. And
yes.
But it's because of this strange time that we live in. It's been 6 months now or more, 6 months and change, I guess. I don't know about you, but I find that I really want to know how people are because it's not that I wasn't concerned before, but, you know, you do wonder, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been in the same position where I've been checking in on people I haven't spoken to for quite some time, just because, I mean, there's a very real chance that they may be not well. And it's good to know that your friends and colleagues and others are, you know, how they're doing.
So what's it been like for you where you are at your house? I mean, the early days 6 months ago of this pandemic, what was happening? I mean, were you one of these people that was hoarding the toilet paper and the sort?
No. You know what? It was strange because my wife and I were in Hawaii at the end of February.
Uh-huh.
We came back, like, I think it was the 3rd or 4th of March. And while we were in Hawaii, we were there for 10 days. And, you know, the notion of a pandemic was starting to rear.
Yeah.
And by the time we got back on the plane coming home, people were wiping down their trays and such.
Yeah.
And so when we got home, it became very real. And I wasn't terrified at that point, but I was thinking, okay, this is happening. And we were watching how people were starting to hoard things, and it was kind of a bit nutty. And I went to Whole Foods one night.
Yeah.
On my way home from the studio, and literally their meat department had been cleaned out, and there were two lamb chops left.
Yeah.
Out of the whole thing. And it was like, you know, 6 o'clock at night. And it just dawned on me, like our society was in terror of what was happening. And so we didn't hoard, but we certainly tried to get what we could, because we, you know, my wife and daughter both have chronic illnesses, and and it's a very real concern if their medications aren't readily available. And it was a bit disconcerting at the beginning.
Yeah, I remember sometime in April, I noticed that there was a scar on my one of my hands.
Yeah.
And it was from realizing that I hadn't washed my hands as well as I should have for all these years.
Hmm.
You know, and I think even if I'm sitting at my desk here at home or at work, and just sitting down every few minutes, not few minutes, I shouldn't say that, maybe every 40 minutes or so, it's to get up and to wash your hands and not find that weird.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've always been a bit of a germaphobe. Not obsessive, but I've always been very careful of just because of both my wife and daughter.
Yeah,
you know, they're susceptible to certain things, so I've always been really careful. So I felt like I was somewhat prepared for the hand washing and just you know, not touching things. But it's a strange notion to be so concerned all the time about everything.
Indeed, yeah. What you mentioned working at the studio. for a while you were working from home, and then and I guess recently you or a couple of years now, right? You've been working out of a studio in East Van, is that right?
That's right. Yeah, just over a year ago, I took up a space in the Parker Street building, and I've been working here. I miss working from home because it's just the immediacy of working from home is fabulous. But I have a lot more space to work here, and it's a good environment to work with, and for sure the Parker Street Studios are, there's a lot of artists here, so it's
It's been good for you that you've been able to get out of the house regularly. Because for some people, and I just assume this is as an artist that you would be able to work. Well, I guess you are able to work from home, but you haven't throughout this time, right?
No, like when the pandemic became something real, I just stayed home. I was too nervous to venture out. It was actually a little bit scary, you know. It just felt like even driving down the street, I don't want to get into a fender bender and have to interact with somebody. It was just like I stayed home for about 6 weeks, so I didn't come down here. Maybe once or twice, just to make sure things were okay. Uh-huh. And then I started coming back to the studio because I just felt like I needed to do something, be productive, and start looking towards the future. Because as an artist, if you don't sell your paintings, you don't have an income, and I wasn't creating any paintings, so it was like taking time off that was unpaid, and I couldn't afford to do that. So I felt and thought eventually that people would start buying art again, and that happened sooner than I thought. People started purchasing art back in March, April.
Yeah.
Or actually, maybe it was April, but not a lot. Certainly slower, but it's still, there's a market there. So I have a responsibility to look after my family, so I got down here as soon as I could and started working on an exhibition for October.
There's a terrific story that you shared online the other day about a young man. I guess he'd worked all summer, 16 years old, was he?
Yeah.
And saved up enough money, and I don't know, if I was 16 years old, I'd have, done something else with $1,600 or $1,500, but what did he do?
I guess he has this is a gallery in Alberta. It's a gallery in Canmore that represents me. The young man had come into the gallery with his mother, and he went through the gallery and looked at all the work that was there, and he selected one of my paintings as something that he wanted to add to his, what he had established as a growing collection of artwork, a curated collection of artwork that he'd been working on for a number of years. And so I guess he thought long and hard about it, and he'd worked all summer, saved his money, and I think that was pretty awesome. I was really pleased. It's quite an honor for my work to go to a young man who's sacrificed pretty much everything he'd made all summer.
So you have your work not only here in Vancouver, but as people will be able to see at the Kurbatov Gallery shortly, you have pieces in Edmonton and I'm assuming in other cities throughout the country, do you?
Yeah, I have a gallery that represents me in Newfoundland, the James Baird Gallery. I have a gallery in Calgary at Gibson's Fine Art. And in Canmore, it's the Elevation Gallery. And then I have a small gallery in Salt Spring, Steffich Fine Art, that represents my work. And then, of course, the gallery here in Vancouver.
When you shared that story online, as you did, I mean, I just thought it was such a great story because this is a young man who's obviously thought long and hard about what is responsible with, I had $1,500 today, I'd probably buy scotch or political buttons.
You need more, don't you?
Well, both, yeah. that it also is a marvelous, I don't know what that's like for the artist. I mean, it must be a marvelous boost of confidence in terms of someone of a different generation, even of a different city, looking at your work and seeing something there that would want them to take not an insignificant amount of money, and put it there. You know.
Yeah, I mean, every sale that occurs, like I'm just always appreciative and amazed that people will separate themselves from their hard-earned money to purchase something that I've made with my hands. It's always a I'm not surprised, because that's what I've been doing this for a long time. But it's always it's a real pleasure, and it is very meaningful to me that people will support me in that way. Especially young men like that. That was really quite something.
Indeed, yeah. So between October 1st and the 22nd, people can go to the Kurbatov Gallery on Granville Street, 2435 Granville Street. And so how will it work in this pandemic time? There won't be the sort of traditional opening that there is for an exhibit, but people can go down there and see the work in close to home?
Yeah, that's right. It's the gallery's open, I think, almost every day.
Right.
And if you go to the website, you can look at the work online, if that's what you so choose, or you can actually just go down physically to the gallery and walk in there. And they're very friendly people, and they're very accommodating, and there's enough space in there to view the work. And like most art galleries, there's not usually a lot of people in there at one time.
Uh-huh.
So there'll be plenty of space to be socially distant and engage with the gallery director as well to answer any questions. But no, there will not be any openings here, unfortunately.
Yeah. What we've talked over the years, David, about the changing city and how it worries people like me that it's changing too quickly. At the same time, because of COVID, a lot of people have been staying close to home, literally. One realizes just how lucky we are.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that's part of the reason I went back into my archives. There was two reasons, really. Like I just didn't want to venture far from home.
Yeah.
Just to avoid any chance encounter with the virus. And so I did stay close to home. And I typically go out and take photographs for every exhibition and use those as reference photographs. This time I went back into my archives, and I have probably, 30,000 photographs I've taken over the years, and selected some of these photographs that resonated with me. And I think, it is a bit nostalgic, but it's also, as a historian, they use the past as a map, as a way to move forward. And I think that in my mind, I was looking at these photographs as just reminders of what there is that we still have, and it's not gone forever, but it's just it's what we can work our way back toward. And I think that's largely what I was thinking about as I worked on this exhibition.
One thing I love about your work, especially the pieces, several of the pieces in here, as well as photographs that I see, old photographs especially, I love seeing marquees and seeing what movies of the day or what theater pieces of the day are playing.
Yeah.
It got me nostalgic seeing, and some of the movies, at the Dunbar that you depict on the marquee.
Right.
Are not even a year old even, and yet you realize that it's been a long time since one's been inside a theater, a movie theater, or an actual live theater. It moved me in a way that I didn't think it would. I was clicking through the website, looking at a few of the pieces, and I realized I hadn't been on Dunbar in more than 6 months, at least.
Yeah, well, I think as the title of the exhibition says, everyone's staying close to home right now, and it's easy to not venture very far from your usual routine. I certainly have, once in a while I end up somewhere downtown or wherever I am, and I think I haven't been down here for 6-8 months, a year. It's very easy for that to happen.
And then it's easy when I see something of yours and remember details of the street. Like I don't think I've been to Granville and Robson probably since before Christmas. So we're talking a little while now. And yet it evokes all kinds of things, all sorts of emotion, all sorts of memory. I guess it's the muscle, isn't it, of the mind?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's. I mean, that's what initially draws people to the imagery. But I do think it's like I said, it's a map forward to where we to go back to where we were. Not so much as in going back in time, but just as a reminder of what there was and what there is and what there will be eventually.
So you're not standing at, say, Granville and Robson or Dunbar and the 30th, and you don't have your easel or anything. Well, you'd probably get wet, wouldn't it?
There are painters that do that work outside. I'm not one of them. It's I have done it in the past, and you know, honestly, I just love working in the studio by myself without any distractions. And I'm not a plein air painter, painter who paints outdoors. It's just not of interest to me at all. So I take lots of photographs, I print them out, and edit them, and then I work from there.
Do you use? Do you have an actual camera? Do you use your phone?
I used to use an SLR, but now I just use my iPhone. It's an iPhone 11 Pro, and it takes amazing photographs.
It's a terrific. Like, I've been a BlackBerry user for years, and mine died, the battery overheated. So I needed to change it, and my provider doesn't. Well, nobody really in this country anymore uses BlackBerry, or gives them out at least for if you're on your plan. So I had to get an iPhone 11, and. Man, I was, you know, doing the thing that everyone does, taking pictures of their food, you know, for Instagram content.
Right.
And I looked at the picture on another screen, and you know, I couldn't remember taking it or to ever taking a photo that good before on that phone.
It's pretty remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's so easy. Like, I can just carry it in my pocket. And, creates good spontaneous photographs for sure.
Yeah. So this reminds me of a question that I've wanted to ask you. Since the pandemic, people have been, you know, taking up things that they haven't probably taken up before. You hear people baking and gardening. You also hear people taking up art. As an artist, what do you make of people's increased interest in art, and especially making it themselves?
I think that most people have some desire to express themselves, and I think especially in the midst of a pandemic where, you know, everyone is going through a crisis, it's a really great opportunity to, you know, whether it's writing or painting or drawing or whatever, it's a great exercise to just just express some things that that you are not necessarily consciously thinking about. I know in my work it's representational, and it depicts a given scene fairly realistically for the most part. But I know I also insert a lot of other ideas into my work, other concepts and symbols and such. And I think that most people on a certain level, I think that sort of practice resonates with them for that very reason, that they're expressing something that they're not necessarily consciously thinking about it, but it's there, and it fulfills that need to do so.
What's fascinating in the pieces that I've seen for Close to Home is this idea of light, and the light that's natural, of course, from the moon, say, or sort of the artificial light when the street lights come up, or from cars at night. And I've spent a fair amount of time looking at a couple of the pieces and wondering what time of day they would be. And I'm just wondering for you as an artist, is there a particular time of day that you like working? And does that show up in some of your work, say?
Yeah, a lot of my work is based upon the dark, rainy skies of night.
Yeah.
But I think that transitional time from day to night or night to day, it's very evocative. You get some really interesting and unusual light configurations that occur, and it's kind of a nice little surprise. You know, the dark and the rain is pretty consistent, but those transitional times, I'm often surprised about what I can pull together from that.
Yeah, is that what they call the gloaming, I guess? Is that the word?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I'm not sure. That word's familiar, but it's an interesting time, but it's not very consistent, so you have to get out there more often to try and capture those opportunities for sure.
And there's a couple of like there's a piece in this exhibition of the Burrard Bridge, and yep. The moon's up, and so
right.
You're looking at it, and this is one of the pieces that I spent a few minutes staring at,
okay.
Because I was wondering, well, when would this have been? What time of day would this have been? And then the other piece that I was looking at was one of the pieces that depicts the marquee at the Stanley. And I was looking at that clock, you know, that building at Broadway and Granville, the northwest corner, trying to see what time that was. And because the way that the light hits the pavement, it could be any time. It could be one of two times of the day, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's well. The painting of the bridge was taken in the morning. That was actually from last summer.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to catch the full moon as it was setting, and so that was probably like 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Or so, 5, maybe 6 a.m. It wasn't. It was late or early.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the one at the Granville marquee. That was an evening photograph. Back in January, I guess it was. Not that late in the evening.
Yeah.
The sunset's pretty early in January.
There's another piece of a Stanley marquee, and the sky is this color of blue. It's just fascinating to look at.
Right.
Because we're getting into the time of year now where we've already passed the first day of fall. And so blue sky like that's going to be rare for the next 8 months.
And, unfortunately, right?
Yeah, and so I was staring at it for a while, and I just loved that. I mean, I've always liked blue, I guess, as a kid even. But this color of blue especially was that doesn't happen by accident, does it? I mean, you have to take time to get the right shade, if you will, right?
Yeah, that's, I don't think that blue really occurs in reality. It's something that I manufactured because I was drawn to that particular blue for the composition. You know, there's a lot of blue and purple in there.
Yeah.
That pink, and I just sometimes they exaggerate the colors. They're not necessarily fully representational of reality.
But it just seemed like this is my interpretation of it, and you'll tell me if I'm right or wrong. It suggested possibility to me in a way that or hopefulness that I think really, I don't know, I guess that's what I've been thinking about throughout this whole time.
Hmm. Yeah, I know I don't recall specifics when I started painting what propelled me to do that particular piece, but I love how it takes on its own meaning for everybody. You know, like it's I think that the Stanley is a theater that so many people have had experiences in there.
Yeah.
Gravel Street, everyone's been on Gravel Street at that time of day at some point in their life or their time living in Vancouver. It's a shared experience, and I think, you know, it's the meaning that you draw from it. I'm sure those things have crossed my mind as I'm painting it, and, you know, among other things. Like a lot of my paintings, I'll go into the painting and insert some text. Sometimes I paint over top of it. Sometimes I just leave it on the surface. But that text is reflective of what's going through my mind at the time. And it could very well be that, you know, some of those things that you're speaking to are embedded in that painting. The paintings are a representation of something literal, but they're also a compendium of thoughts and ideas and experiences and moments in time that I try to layer into the painting. And I think that particular one of the Stanley Theater that you're talking about has a lot of that built in right into the painting.
And it's in a place on the piece. Well, we always want to look north. And even if you've never been on Granville Street, you're living elsewhere, one would just assume that that's where north would be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we always look to the north, I guess, when we're anywhere.
Yeah, for sure.
What are there certain colors that you don't use or don't like?
I don't know. I tend to use a certain palette, but once in a while I'll venture away from it. No, I think I like most colors. Working with colors or certain pigments consistently, you know how they interact with each other. Introducing a new color at times can be difficult, not impossible, but it's difficult because you don't know how it will interact with the pigments that you're using that in conjunction with that one color. So it can be a bit tricky at times, but I'm looking at my easel right now, and I have 10 different colors on there, and I've got another 8 or 10 sitting around, so I think I'm using pretty much all that I can think of right now.
Yeah. Are there certain things on a street that are hard to paint, say? You mentioned putting writing in at times, and you know, the writing can come from various things, signs, obviously, newspaper boxes or people's clothing even. Are there things that when you're working that you have to go back to the photograph that you've taken and really think about, say?
Yeah, I think that, like with certain, like especially automobiles, if I'm trying to represent an automobile, it's like a portrait. Like, you want to make sure you get it right, because if you don't, everyone will tell you all the mistakes you've made on it. it's fine. But I'm not striving for literal accuracy. I'm trying to convey a thought. So a lot of my cars, a lot of my automobiles, they look very generic. They look like these square boxes, and that's because I'm just really not interested in painting a BMW or a Toyota Yaris. I just want it to represent the automobile. But no, for the most part, you know, the text is hidden. You have to look for it, unless it's on a marquee or, like you said, a stop sign or street sign.
Yeah.
You know, the text that speaks to the thoughts, they're hidden there. You have to look for them.
I've probably asked you this before, but I'm sure there are people who haven't listened to our previous conversations. Of the four seasons, is there one that's your favorite?
Yeah, I love fall. Like, I love the autumn. It's sad. There's a bit of melancholy.
Yeah.
It's the end of summer, and summer's a long ways away. But it's also the time where you're hunkering down for winter, and you sort of turn back towards your social interactions around meals and that sort of thing. And I generally have my exhibitions in the fall, so it's once the exhibition's out of the way, all the preparation for it, it's a bit more restful. I think fall is fantastic. It's the nicest time of year for me.
It's also in my mind, I think of it as a start to school seasons and television and the sort.
Exactly.
You just think of this is the start of the year almost for a lot of people, and you're definitely right. There is this mood of melancholy. I'm tidying up my space at home for in the summer for something. And I can't put my finger on it, but there is something in, when it's autumn, and, you're just waiting for that, I guess. And a lot of waiting, expected in the months to come, I guess, as well. Right.
Yeah, well, I think you're preparing for winter. But we found, especially with our daughter when she was entering school, school years back, 15 years ago, that the September was definitely the beginning of the year. Everything started anew, and we celebrate New Year's in January or the end of December. But it's definitely the real year starts in September in my mind too.
So when you work, as you do in your studio there, you're generally alone. Do you have any sounds? Do you have music? Do you have the radio? Do you have, the sounds from the television even? Are they going on in the background? How do you work in that sense?
Well, there's a lot of sounds like ambient sounds from, there's a wood shop beside me, and there's a framer below me, and they have like a lot of saws and things like that, so I get a lot of that. There's a construction site outside my studio right now, and it's pretty noisy there, but I tend to listen to a lot of podcasts, and I definitely listen to music, a lot of music, for sure.
Is there a certain playlist for this time of year, for the fall, for the autumn? For you?
I kind of like sort of go back and forth with jazz, like the sort of softer autumnal jazz, and then I like that sort of moody music of the bands like the Brian Jonestown Massacre. I don't know if you've ever come across them or not, but sort of like almost like psychedelic alternative rock music, and it speaks to my melancholy, my enjoyable melancholy.
Yeah, it is. It can be enjoyable, and I think that's what confuses a lot of people when one gets nostalgic or reflective. They think it's a moody in a bad way, but there is a very important. These are feelings that one needs to have, I guess.
Yeah, there's a novel, a writer from Turkey. His name is Orhan Pamuk. I'm sure you've come across him. He wrote a book called Istanbul, about his love affair with the city of Istanbul. And he spoke a lot about this. It's called Hüzün. I think I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it's Hüzün. The melancholy that comes from living in that city, and it reminded me a lot of Vancouver, because I think there's that exists here. I think people have this love-hate relationship with the rain, but I think that it can be a positive, even though it feels a bit heavy at times. And that book was really interesting to read. It articulated it so much better than I could ever do.
Yeah, we like to complain about the rain, but I think it's it's just something for us to talk about whenever we run, the people we know or people we don't know. It's just something to bring up,
I think so. Yeah. I think for sure that's correct.
David, I've kept you longer than I said I would. I could talk all afternoon with you, as we've done in the past.
It's always a pleasure.
They're the same for me. Break a leg, as I say. All the best to you and Marnie and the family.
Many thanks, Joseph. You as well.
DavidWilson.ca is the website for more, and then, of course, visit KurbatovGallery.com for the times to see close to home, 2345 Granville Street. That's beginning tomorrow, the 1st of October, through to Thursday, the 22nd. David Wilson joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.